This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to thank you for tuning in to watch, and I hope that you'll stay tuned for the next few minutes as we discuss a subject that I believe ought to be of great concern and interest to each and every one of us, Christ and the home. Christ and the home. I want to thank those of you who are watching today for the very first time. My name is Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we're delighted to have those watching today who may not have seen our telecast in times past. Now today, we want you to know that we offer a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize that it is free in order that you might know more about the course and how to receive the course. We're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read now from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14 and verse 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The first institution ever built by the Lord was not a home for elderly people. It was not a hospital. It was not a Christian school. It was not a school to train men in the ministry. The first institution the Lord ever built was the home. After God created man, He saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. And God took a rib from the side of the man, and out of that rib He made the woman. And when she was presented to the man, He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." That was the beginning of the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. And since that time, God has been interested in man and his home. God gives us the instructions for the home. I have a prayer today, and the prayer is also the title of a song. May God give us Christian homes. God give us homes where the Bible is read, where the Bible is taught. Give us homes where God is respected and loved. May God give us Christian homes. For just a little while, I want to talk to you about Christ and the home. And I want us to think about building a Christian home. Now, the first thing you do when you build anything is you lay the right foundation for it. And there needs to be a good foundation for the home as God would have it. In Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, the question is asked, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We need the right kind of foundation for a home. Some are building their homes on things that will not last. Some build them on money. Some build their homes on sex. Some build on alcohol. Some on drugs. Many other things. I read about a shopping center that at one time had been the site of a garbage dump. And over time, the shopping center and the buildings began to give way. See, after all, it was built on garbage. And many homes today are not built on good foundations. I had a good Christian woman say to me one day, a woman whose husband was an alcoholic, "Brother Lambert, you cannot build a home on a bottle." To me, that said it all. You know, the foundation of our life is what's so important. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will liken unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." We need to build our homes on Christ, the Rock of Ages. "Except the Lord build the house," the psalmist said, "they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." That's found in your Bible in Psalms chapter 127 in verse number 1. We need to build on faith in Jesus Christ, faith in His divine Word. When the Lord tells us something, we need to believe it with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Paul was on a ship bound for Rome. He had been told by the Lord, "You're going to Rome and you're going to appear before Caesar." And there was a storm that arose and the sailors were frightened. But Paul said to them, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He was told that none of them would, there would not be loss of life, that all of them would survive the storm. And they did. We need to have that kind of faith in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have faith in His promises. His promises are yes or no, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. We can put our faith in His promises, any promise that He makes. We need to have faith in His presence. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He said at the close of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." I think there are a lot of homes that go on the rocks because they're not built on the solid rock. Is your home built on a solid foundation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then if we build a foundation, then you've got to start erecting the walls of that home. And there are four walls I want us to erect for this home. First of all, wall number one is consecrated Christian living. Children should all be able to see Jesus Christ in their parents. They ought to be able to see Christ in the way that we live and conduct ourselves in the home. We ought to see Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. Psalms chapter 127 tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And our children, as arrows in our hands, need to be directed in the correct direction. And we do that by living the Christian life before them. Paul said, you need to follow me because I'm following Jesus. And every person, every father and every mother should be able to say to every son and every daughter in their family, you follow me because I'm trying to the best of my ability to live the Christian life. And so we need to have the wall of consecrated Christian living. Now, there are two ways that we can teach our children. We can teach them by precept. Now, that's where we tell them what to do. And I have an idea that every father and every mother watching right now has told their children what they need to do. You need to mow the lawn. You need to wash the dishes. Clean up your room. Do this. Do that. Go and get your homework. We tell them what to do. We want them to study the Bible. We want them to pray. We want them to attend worship. We want them to go to Sunday school. We want them to do what is right. So we teach them by precept, by what we say. But the second way we teach our children is by our example, by living Christ before them. What kind of leadership are we furnishing in our homes for our children? Now, let me tell you what Brother Joshua said. All you other people can decide what you want to do, but let me tell you what my house is going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. My wife will serve the Lord. My children are going to serve the Lord. That decision has been made. We need to have consecrated Christian living in our homes today. What takes priority in your life? Is it sports? Is it your business? Is it money? Is it some worldly organization that takes priority in your life? I think the saddest day in a person's life is the day they put the things that are of the world ahead of the things of God. And it's going to cause you heartache and a lot of grief, because your children are going to follow in your footsteps. So as we erect the walls in this Christian home, we've got the foundation laid, and that foundation is faith in Jesus Christ, an obedient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we obey Him because we love Him, and then we erect the wall of consecrated Christian living. Now, wall number two is the wall of Bible reading and prayer. Have your children heard you read the Bible? Some of my fondest memories of my mother are seeing my mother with her Bible in her lap, reading her Bible. I think it's from my mother that I learned to have a great love from the Bible. Now, my father believed in God and believed in the Bible, was a Christian. But I saw that so much out of my mother. I had those that would read the Bible to me when I was young, but other than my parents, that instilled a love for the Word of God in my heart. And I believe that I'm preaching today because of that. Our children need to see us pray. They need to see us read the Bible in the home. I have known parents that never prayed with their children. Their children had never had them read the Bible to them. That is a huge blunder, a huge mistake. We need to have Bible reading and prayer at the home. We see that our children get indoctrinated with all kinds of things out here from the secular world. I want you to think about all the things that our children have by which they become indoctrinated. They have cell phones. They have computers. They have access to the internet. And by having cell phones and computers and access to the internet, they have access to everything that the devil can throw at them. What are we going to do to indoctrinate them in spiritual matters? I'm more concerned that my grandchildren know more about Jesus than they do about some singer somewhere. And yet our children can, they can sing along with somebody that's got a popular song, not miss a word. But if you were to ask them some simple question about the Bible, they would absolutely be stumped. They would not have a clue. We need to teach our children the Word of God today. We want our children to stay away from the devil and his devices. The Word of God needs to be deeply ingrained in their minds and in their hearts. In Psalms chapter 119, the question is asked, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is by taking heed to the Word of God. He also says in that same chapter, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've often used this illustration. Imagine I have a wire wastebasket. And I tell you, I'm going to fill this wastebasket full of water. You say, well, you never do it. I'll tell you what I will do. I'll have the cleanest wastebasket in town because I have this water flowing through that wire wastebasket. And I may not remember everything I read in the Bible. And our children may not remember everything that we tell them about God and about the Bible. But by filtering the pure Word of God through their hearts and their minds, filtering it into their lives, it helps to push the impurities out of their lives. And bless our souls, the secular world in which we live is completely bombarding our children with things that are calculated to tear them down spiritually. We need to do everything we can to build them up. Erect the wall of Bible reading and prayer in your home. Wall number three, and that's the wall of discipline. I'm not talking about cruelty. I'm talking about correction. Everything today seems to be operated by a switch except children. And that's what we use with our children when they were small. And I know there's some of you that would object to even using a switch, just stinging their legs a little bit. It doesn't take much of that to get their attention, and they learn quickly. They learn quickly. I remember one time going off down in Central Florida to conduct a revival. And the children were in the back seat, and they got a little rowdy. We asked them to be quiet. They did not get quiet. I pulled over to the side of the road, went down into the bushes alongside the road, came back with a switch about 3 feet long, laid it on the dashboard of the car. They knew what it was for, and there was peace in the valley. You see, we need to discipline our children. We think we're hurting them when we do not. But the Bible says that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. One of the great things that children need is to be disciplined today. One of the things that children want is to be disciplined today, because they know that if mother and daddy discipline them, they must do it because they love them. You say, Brother Lambert, I don't believe that. I'm sure you don't. Well, what's happening in your family? You see, discipline needs to be restored to the home today. And if we have discipline in the home, we will have discipline in the schools. If we have discipline in the schools, we're going to have discipline in society. And the reason some are so undisciplined today and run rampant like a bunch of barbarians today is because somewhere in their life, they were never taught to be disciplined in their conduct. Oh, we need to erect the wall of discipline more than anything I know in our homes today if we're going to save our children. Then wall number four is the wall of respect. Where do children learn respect? I can tell you one thing. I was taught respect by my mother and my dad. And I know this sounds old-fashioned to some of you, but I had to say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to my parents. I remember my mother calling me one day And I was on the other side of the house, and I answered her with one word, and that word was what? And she said, come here, young man. And I knew right then I was in some serious trouble, and I was. And she let me know it. You see, we need to show great respect for people. I was taught as a child to show respect not just for my parents, but for older people, to show respect for them. We learn respect for other people at home. We need to learn to respect God. We need to learn to respect His Word. I had a Sunday school teacher by the name of Miss Hauser. And I was just a small child, and there was a Bible laying on the table there in front of me, and it was in my way. I don't know what I was going to do. Maybe I was going to take crayon and color a picture or something. And so I took the Bible, and I just threw it on the floor right beside me. And Miss Hauser said, young man, you pick that Bible up, and don't you ever, ever, ever throw a Bible on the floor again. I'm going to tell you, Miss Hauser instilled such a respect in me for the Word of God that when I have a pile of books of mine, the Bible is always on top. I respect the Bible. We need to teach our children to respect the Word of God. Not just respect it, but respect it and love it enough that they'll read it and to make it a part of their lives. Children need to learn to respect the rights of other people. It's not all about them. Life is about others. We need to think about other people, each of you looking not only to his own things, but also the things of others. We need to have respect for the property of others. We need to teach our children respect. So there are the four walls that we've erected in this home. We have the foundation now. We have the walls erected. But we don't have a roof. And the roof covering it all is love. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 14, the Bible says, and above all these things, have love one for another. Love is what covers our home. And if we have love in the home, we can solve any difficulty that comes up in our family. Over the years, I've conducted many weddings for young couples. And as a rule, I would sit down with them prior to their wedding day, and we would discuss marriage and some of the things about it. And one of the things that I have said so many different times was something like this, that in the future, after you're married, there may be some things come up in your family and in your life together that are troubling to you. But at that which will keep you together during those hard times is the love that you have one for another. And love suffers long, and love is kind, love envies not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And I said, until you try loving each other. Like Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13, you've not done your best. Love is the bond of perfection, of perfectness, that will keep you together through the hard times as well as the good times. We've got to learn to love one another. And when we do, Satan cannot do a thing to hurt our family. The way the devil destroys a family is like this. He comes between a husband and his wife. And there are lots of ways that he can come between a husband and his wife to destroy this home. He may do that by him spending too much time with his friends. Or Satan may destroy a home by a wife spending carelessly the money that her husband earns. Or he may come between a husband and wife by a man becoming enamored with some other woman that he's met, maybe at work or somewhere else. You see, the only way that a home can survive is for a husband and wife to have love for each other. But they're not just two people in a home. They're three. There's a husband, there's a wife, and there's God. That's the reason Joshua said, "As for me, and as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Now, what about you? What about your family? What about your home? What are you serving in your home? What are you doing in your home? I want to urge you to do this one thing, to give serious consideration to making your home a Christian home. You say, "Well, Brother Lambert, I've watched you on television, but I don't know much about the Bible, and I don't really know what to do." And that's the reason I want to encourage you today before we close, and I'll do that again before we close today, to order the Bible course that we're offering. You see, this Bible course that we're offering will help you to better understand how you will be pleasing to God. And when you find out how you can have a better relationship with God, you're going to have better relationships even in the family. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God." I hope you'll be able to say that to your wife, to your children, to your husband, to your children. "As for us, we're going to serve God in this family. We're in it together. We're in it together as a family. And we want to raise our children in the Lord Jesus Christ." I'd urge you to take our Bible course. You'll learn how to become a Christian. You'll learn the Bible teaches that we're to believe in Jesus Christ. I know some people don't believe in Jesus. I'm aware of that, but it'll teach you to believe in Jesus. It will teach you to repent of your sins. It will teach you to confess your faith in Him. And the Bible also will teach you that as a believer in Christ, you're to be baptized. Now, because Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So let me encourage you to call for that Bible course right now before we close our telecast today. Also, let me urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And we want to do everything we can to help you and your family to have a successful home, a successful family, to build it on the rock of faith in Jesus. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.